Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Erev Shabbos Pirkei Avos class learning as we move through the month of Elul. Aleph Elul was Monday, so we are in the beginning of this auspicious month, the time of Teshuvah. Once again, like last week, our shir will be in Yanei Diyoma, related to Pirkei Avos, and also related to Elul. So I'm going to begin by screen sharing as well, right away, the handout that I have for you. And the sponsor information is here. Could you see my screen? Bamidbar 13:2, yeah? Okay. So we have a special sponsor this evening. I see her camera's open. So I've never been zochet to meet Ruth and Joseph Schwartz in person, but we learn online together with my recorded shir on Yom Torah. So it's a tremendous chus to have you sponsor the shir, and I thank you very, very much. And maybe one day, I hope, Azor Hashem, we will be able to meet and maybe even learn together in person. So this year is sponsored by Ruth and Joseph Schwartz. A few reasons. In memory of Max Schwartz, Mordechai Ben Yosef, Yortzeit 8 Elul. Also, Baruch Hashem, in honor of the Simcha of their sons Bar Mitzvah, Mordechai Eliel Ben Yosef Lei, Mazel Tov, and you should have a lot of nachas. And also, I don't like to read it, but I just have to read what I have been told to read. Well, it's very, very nice, and I thank you very much. In gratitude to all of the inspirational Torah we have learned over the course of the past year from Michal Horowitz, and in anticipation of the Torah we plan on continuing to learn together in the coming year, may year be a year of Besuras Tovos. Amen. I thank you very much for your kind words and the zchus of sharing Torah with you and your family, even though it is from afar. So I thank you very much. So let us start our learning. Before we even get to Pirkei Avos, we are going to, there's a comment, I didn't say anything. That's very nice. Thank you, Sand Leader. Amen. So before we even get to Pirkei Avos, we're going to have an introduction. Again, it's definitely Minyanei Diyoma, and we are going to get to the Mishnah. So this is a very interesting insight that was shared with me last week by somebody who was visiting from Israel in a certain venue, and I never met them before. And they shared with me a very nice insight that I'm now going to share for the first time with you. It was told to me, she heard it from Robertson Rina Tarshish. Okay? So the Pasuk says in Sefer Bamidbar Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis, and that is the Parsha of the Meraglim. Okay? So it begins, Shlach lecha anashim, send for yourself men, v'yasuru es eretz Canaan, you shall scout out the land of Canaan, asher ani nosein the v'nei Yisrael, that I'm giving to the v'nei Yisrael, ish echad, ish echad, l'matei avosov, tishachu kol nasi behem. So you should choose one man per tribe, each one is a prince amongst them, and you should send them to scout out the land. So what this woman told me, I don't even know her name. I was lecturing in a certain venue, her elderly mother was there, and after she approached me and told me this insight in the name of Robertson Rina Tarshish. So she told me when I came home, of course I went to look it up, I didn't have a Bamidbar army. V'yasuru is interpreted by Targum Onkelos on the Chumash, Shlach lecha guvurin, send for yourself men, via alelun. Yas ara de Canaan, and they shall explore the land of Canaan. But if you see that the word via alelun, you could see it on my screen. Yes, everybody. Yeah, so you could see it on my screen. Via alelun is the word Elul. So Rina Rabbitson, Rina Tarish is darshan that there is a lesson here. Via suru means to scout out. Via alelun, I have a set of unklus with English translation and commentary on unklus. So I wanted to make sure that I know exactly what the word means. So I looked it up, and it means they shall explore. They shall explore. Yas ara de Canaan, di ana yehevu v'nei Yisrael, that I'm giving to the b'nei Yisrael. One man per the tribe of their fathers. You should send. Everyone is distinguished amongst them. So what? What is the message? So I said to her, that's very, very interesting. Via suru equals via alelun. And she even said to me, she thinks at the end of Parsha Shlach, by the Parsha of Tzitzis, she thinks by the end of Shlach, that when it says, lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem, she thinks it might be the same shot, but I came home and I looked it up. It is not the same at the end of Parsha Shlach. Via suru, v'lo sasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei neichem is not the same via alelun, so it is only here. They shall scout out the land. So I said to her, it's extremely interesting. So what's the message? What's the lesson for Elul? So perhaps the message and the lesson is you have to tour out the entire land. We know that the spies had to walk the whole length and breadth and the width and the depth of the land. And one of the things that we have to understand is we have to see in this month of Elul, what's the big picture? Scout out yourself. Look at the big picture. Where are you holding? This is Elul. Via Alulun means to via suru. To be in the month of Elul means to scout out, to check out, to investigate who you are. It's this time of year that we must scout out ourselves, our lives and where we stand in life. What do we have? What do we lack? Moshe told them, are the cities open or closed? Are they weak or strong? Are they fortified? Are they strong or are they weak? Are they open or are they walled? Are they fortified or are they open to the enemy? Are there giants in the land? And take from the fruit of the land. So we see that we have to scout out our whole selves. And one of the things that I think that we could say is we can't lose sight of the forest for the trees. You have to see the big picture as well. So it's true, we all have to pick a nekuda or two with which we must be chozrim b'teshuva and show the Ribbono Shel Olam we're really trying to change. We really want to change. We want to be a better person. But you still have to look at the total picture of who you are as an Eved Hashem and where you stand in your Avodas Hashem. And the only way to do that is v'yasuru v'yaladun. I never heard this before last week, and I haven't shared it yet in a shir, so Baruch Shachan v'kimanu. It's such a beautiful insight that you need to scout out the person that you are. You are standing. Are you weak or strong? Chazaku and marofe. Are you open to all kinds of impurities, or are you fortified against impurities? Do you have the giants living in the land who are able to withstand, you know, an aggressor, or are we weak and small? When we take a stock, an accounting of who we are and where we stand, we are better equipped to enter into the month of Elul and then to prepare ourselves for the month of Din. So again, this is on Parsha Shlach, Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Beis, and I thought it was just a very, very beautiful insight and a very, very beautiful cheresh. You want me to post what I just said? The Pasuk with Unklus? Yes, Autumn, is that what you mean? Okay, 1 minute. Here we go. Good idea. Okay, there you go. You have the pasuk with Unklus. Everyone can see it. And you see V'yasuru is V'ya'alalun. By the way, it's interesting because Targum Unklus is, of course, an Aramaic interpretation. In the Torah text, we do not have names for the month. The Torah counts the months according to number. And the names for the months are Aramaic in nature. So Elul is not a Hebrew, a word from the Torah text. You don't find the word Elul anywhere. You see allusions to Elul, but not the word itself. It's rather an Aramaic source. And here Unklus says V'ya'alun is V'yasuru. So I thought that that was a very, very beautiful insight. Now we go to a piece by Rabbi Joseph B. Salvechik Zatzal, the Rav. Okay, new piece that I came across in preparing for Shir, and I've certainly never saw it before, and I never taught it before either. So here we go. Let's learn this together. So Rabbi Salvechik quotes the Pasuk from Yeshayahu, Shalom, Shalom, l'rachok v'lakarav, Amar Hashem u'rifa isiv. Peace, peace, to he who is far and he who is near, which teaches you how great is the power of Teshuvah. Hashem calls out to he who is very far away spiritually, and also to he who is close. And Hashem says, "Urifa isiv, I will heal him," like from the word refuah, when you wish someone a refuah shalema, when you daven for refa'enu, but your davening is for healing. So we see this idea that Hashem is saying, peace, peace, and to he who is far, and to he who is near, and I will heal him. And another pasuk the Rav quotes, also from Yeshaya, this time from Perek Vav, "Ulevavo yavin vishav v'rafalo," his heart will understand, and he will repent, vishav, he will return, and then he will be healed. So both of these psukim are talking about someone and the need for teshuvah, to come back close to Hashem. And then we have this idea of healing. Now, usually when we think of healing, we think of physical healing. Most of the names, I would venture to say, that we daven for in Rifa'enu, the Rofei Cholim should heal all Cholim, are those who are physically ill. Rav Salvechik in this piece is going to show us, based on these psukim from Yeshayahu that talk about the topic of teshuvah, and then God is the healer, that there's another kind of illness, and it is not only a physical ailment, but there is a spiritual illness. From this equation, says Rav Salvechik, Judaism extracted a simple conclusion. If sin were comparable to an organic disease, then its cure must come about accordingly. So when a person is physically ill, they need a physical cure. When a person is spiritually ill, they also need some sort of cure. Now the Pesukim seem to tell us right away that the cure is teshuva. The cure is to come back close to Hashem, to come back to God in peace. Shalom doesn't only mean peace. Shalom means shlemus, wholesomeness, or completion. So if you want to know what it means to come back to God and to be healed, you have to be shalem. And you also have the second pasuk we call it vishav, to return. So Salvechik says, from this equation, Judaism extracted a simple conclusion. If sin were comparable to an organic disease, then its cure must come about accordingly. Sooner or later, an awareness of every organic illness is transmitted through the nervous system to the mind. The body is going to know at some point that you are physically ill. the organ that is not working, or the part of the body that starts to break down, Rahman al-Sun is going to send a sign to the brain that you are not feeling well. That's what fever. Fever tells your body that something is wrong. There comes the point when man begins to realize that something in his organism is out of joint, something is out of sorts. This is a piece from Salavatric on repentance. That's the name of the sefer. So a man realizes, you know, when you have a cough, imagine if you didn't have pain. Pain's a bracha. You would never know that you have a cough unless you maybe saw yourself bleeding, okay? But you wouldn't know. How would you know if you might need stitches? How would you know if you should put on polysporin? How do you know if you need a band-aid? If you didn't feel any pain, you wouldn't know to address that issue. And so pain is a bracha, an illness, the Rav Salavitch is going to show us is a bracha because it shows that something is wrong. Something in his system notifies him that one of his organs is diseased, whether it's your foot that hurts, or your hand that hurts, or your stomach that hurts, or it's your head that hurts. That pain is notifying your body that you are not well. The news usually arrives in the same way, through bodily pain, when something starts breaking down. So now we know, the mind now knows that I'm sick in this area, I need to take care of this area. Aristotle, says the Rav, long ago noted that pain is perhaps the Creator's most important gift to his creatures. Serving, what is pain? It is an alarm bell to alert man of approaching danger. If something in the body's breaking down and you don't have any sign that it's breaking down and you don't have any pain, then you're never going to know you need to heal. You only need to heal because something doesn't feel well. There's a very beautiful medrash that tells us that Avram requested old age. Avram zaken bo bayami v'asham berachas Avram v'kol Avram zaken. Avram was old. Avram requested old age because he said, Ribono shel Olam, a father or son will enter the room and nobody will know who's the father and who's the son. So Hashem says, you asked properly, we will now have old age coming from you. Yitzchak asked for Yisurin. Why? Because he said when a person gets up to the Olam HaEmes, if there's no Yisurin in this world, how will he ever get Olam Haba? Let God extract retribution for our misdeeds down here so we could have an Olam HaEmes. So Hashem gave him Yisurin. He had Yisurin with his sons. Yaakov had to run away. Esau wanted to kill him. And finally, Yaakov bikesh choli. Yaakov requested illness. Because Yaakov said, and Yaakov, in fact, is the first person in the Torah at the end of Sefer Bereishis who we are told is sick, and Yosef goes to visit him. Aviv Cholah, he becomes sick. He requested illness because he said a person will just die with all his affairs unfinished, and Yaakov requested illness. So it's a very, very beautiful teaching of Chazal. Avram requested old age. Avram v'saras keinim ba'im ba'yamim chadalio v'sar orach kenashim. Yitzchak requested Yisurin, and we have the whole narrative of his sons and the switching of the brachos, and he saw Gehenim open under him. And Yaakov requested choli. So Rav Salavitch says that pain is an alarm bell to alert man of approaching danger. In the words of the sages, so interesting. So this is very relevant. Someone just posted to everyone. You could all read it, but the people are going to be listening online. I want you to hear this. Pain is a bracha. My husband has diabetes, she wrote. He has no feeling in his feet. It's so dangerous. He doesn't know when he gets a wound. So I cannot give you a better illustration than the person who just shared that comment with us. And that's exactly what Salvechik is trying to say. There is an alarm bell to alert man of approaching danger. If a person doesn't know he's sick, he's in danger. In the words of the sages, whoever has a pain, let him go to the doctor. You only know if you need to go to the doctor. If your throat never hurt you from strep throat, so then a person would ultimately die from strep throat if they don't get antibiotics. But we all know, God help us, how tragic it can be when the alarm is rung when it's too late. It is a medical, first he's still talking about medicine, but don't worry, we're going to get to spiritual. I forgot to welcome my mother-in-law. I saw her here before. Yeah? I saw her here before. There she is, waving. Hi, Eva. We had such a beautiful Shabbos last week together, Baruch Hashem. She hosted us all. Okay, we all know, God help us, how tragic it can be when the alarm is rung too late. He's going to get to spiritual ailments soon. It is a medical fact that in the most serious illness, as is often the case with malignant growth, there is no early sign in the form of very sharp pain that caused the victim to gasp with pain. At the early stage of the illness, when it would still have been possible to overcome, very often the alarm bell is not sounded. As in the case of a cut finger, when a person cuts their finger, the irony is it's a minor illness. I'm talking with someone who has a blood clotting disease, etc. But for most of us, it's going to hurt you. But Be'ezrat Hashem, you're going to heal pretty quickly from your cut finger. The irony is that sometimes the cut finger hurts more than something that is much more serious. And sometimes, unfortunately, says the Rav, may God help us, the alarm bell is rung too late. In serious illnesses, though, they knew a person is attacked by a general feeling of discomfort, of tiredness. You all know this, I'm sure, from times in your life when you don't feel well, when you really don't feel well, like if you've had the flu or if you've had a fever, if you've been laid up in bed or after cesarean sections, yes, Baruch Hashem, but how you physically feeling. So you don't really care about anything at that moment except feeling well. The laundry doesn't matter and the supper doesn't matter and your errands don't matter and nothing all of a sudden matters except, please God, help me feel better so I could get up and do what I have to do. But all you want at that moment is for the pain to go away. Says the Rav, a person is attacked by a general feeling of discomfort, of tiredness, of incapacity. You can't do anything, of apathy and melancholy. And you know, when you have a serious virus or an illness, all you want is to feel physically better. You know, this past year, I've come to realization when people give a brech, you should have nachas, you should have simcha. I always say amen, and then I always say in good health to enjoy it. Because that's the first thing you need. Such is the way serious illnesses first affect one. And now, what does this have to do with the two psukim that we have begun this piece with from Yeshayahu? Hashem speaks about refuah, but we're not talking about, the Navi's not speaking about a person who is physically sick. He's talking about a person who is spiritually sick. So what does God do? He extends a branch of peace. Shalom, shalom, l'rachok v'l'akarov. L'rachok means he who is far away from God. From here, the Gemara learns that Malcolm Shabbat Shuvid Omdim Ein Sadikim Gemurim Omdim, because Hashem first calls he who is far, La Rachok, then he calls he who is Karov. The Rachok is so dear to God when he comes close to God. We need Shleimus to come close to Hashem. And Hashem will heal us, Urifa Isiv. Furthermore, the other pasuk from Yeshayahu, Ulevavo Yavin, when your heart understands that you are ill, Vishav, you will do teshuvah, Virafalo, he will have healing. So we see that being sick with sin is spiritual illness, and that too requires a healing. Going back to Rav Soloveitchik, where am I up to? And if the prophets equated sin with illness, you just saw the Navi, who equates sin with illness, you need a refuah shalema, and repentance with healing, vishav virafalo, then as occur in an illness, there must be warning signs of pain. Oh, typo. There must be warning signs of pain and suffering. There have to be warning signs of pain and suffering that alarm you and alarm your consciousness of the oncoming disaster. What does that mean? If there is an alarm bell that rings when I am physically ill, chas v'shalom, which is pain. So if I'm spiritually ill, is there a spiritual bell that rings? Is there spiritual pain? Yes, says Rav Soloveitchik. Every sin is accompanied by an inner sense of sin. If you're a moral person, okay, if you're a Torah dik Jew, and you do something wrong, you should feel bad. If you don't feel bad, so that's another little problem, okay? First of all, you shouldn't do the Avera. Okay, fine. But you should feel bad. You should feel a sense of remorse, guilt, shame. That's a spiritual pain, says the Rav, that's warning you that you need a spiritual healing, just like there's a physical pain that is an alarm bell to the fact that you need physical healing. Every sin is accompanied by an inner sense of sin. I am not referring to the knowledge of sin, says the Rav, or to the understanding of sin, or to the consciousness of sin. Those are higher stages. I'm speaking of a sense, an inner sense of sin. What does that mean? Just like when you're sick and all you want is to feel better, because you don't care about anything else when you're not feeling well. All you feel about is feeling better. When a person sins, not that you might not even have the knowledge or the understanding or the consciousness, but there is a, quote, inner disquiet, a bothersome ache which attacks the sinner, any sinner. It's so true. If you've ever insulted anybody or skipped a tefillah or behaved in a way that you know you shouldn't behave or dressed in a way you know you shouldn't dress, and you did it because we're not so strong, we have a yetzer hara, you should feel a tremendous sense of discomfort after, of inner shame. How could I have done that? Aren't I better than that? God expects more of me. Don't I expect more of myself? What is that inner sense of that bothersome ache? A feeling of inner disquiet. That is comparable to the physical pain that alerts your mind to physical injury. This is a spiritual pain that alerts your mind to spiritual injury. The sense of sin accompanies the sinner without any possibility of evasion. The only way you can get out of this is teshuvah. The only way you could heal that cut is to go to the doctor, get stitches, put on a band-aid, polysport. You cannot evade that sense of sin. It's a shame if you've never felt it. I don't know. Either you've never sinned or you don't feel a sense of shame. I can't imagine. I'm sure you could all relate. There is a sense of sin that accompanies the sinner. There is no possibility of evasion. It sits in your mind. How could I have said that? How could I have done that? How could I have eaten that? Whatever. Intoxication and the blunting of the senses do not allow him to escape from his reaction to sin. You could get drunk. When you wake up in the morning, you're still going to feel what you did. And the blunting of the senses do not allow one to escape from reaction to sin. On the morrow, meaning tomorrow, when soberness sets in, the sinner begins to feel the pain caused by sin. Not an acute penetrating pain, but a nagging feeling of bereavement, a mood of depression and melancholy. And it's such an apt, beautiful, and powerful description of what our psyche, what our neshama feels in the presence of sin. If you really want to be an Eved Hashem, if you are an Eved Hashem, and you try and live the best life you can, and you have Das Torah, and you ask Shailas, and you do the best that you can, then when you make a mistake, you feel really bad. Does anyone know what I'm talking about or referring to? You feel really bad. That is the spiritual alarm bell ringing to tell your neshama we need to rectify things, just like there's a physical alarm that rings to tell your body physically sick, go to the doctor. It's a spiritual alarm that rings and tells your body, you are spiritually sick. We need to be healed. And what's the healing? Go back to Hashem. Shalom, shalom, merachok v'lakarav, amar Hashem erufa isiv. Come back to me in shleimus. Even if you're so far away, I will heal you. L'levavo yavin, when your heart understands those spiritual warning signs of melancholy, of depression, of self-criticalness. Sometimes you should be self-critical. I don't think self-criticalness is the word. I'm aware. I just made it up. Okay? But when your heart understands, vishav, you will be motivated to repent, virafalo, and you will be healed. Let's go to the Mishnah that I would like to talk about or tie this into this evening. Perkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would say, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi lived approximately 135 to 219 Common Era, not so long ago, less than 2,000 years, known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh, or simply as Rabbi, okay? One of the last Mishnaic sages. He recorded, edited, and organized statements of the earlier sages, and it was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, known as Rabbi, who formed the Mishnah. He compiled the oral law, what we call Torah Sheba'al Peh, which until that time was passed down from Rabbi to Talmud. For the first time, he compiled it into the written book of the, I don't have a Mishnah in front of me. Oh yeah, I do. Perek Avos is also a Mishnah. Okay, he compiled it into the book that we have today. He was phenomenally wealthy, interesting, and he was close friend of the Roman Emperor Antoninus. Okay. That happens to be from Chabad.org, but in the Svarim, in Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky on Sinai, and Ethics from Sinai, they also give a biography of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So for tonight, we're not going to talk about who he was, more than that brief biography, rather what he taught us. And there's a lot of parts of this Mishnah, but we're only going to focus on the very last part of the Mishnah. Rabbi Omer, Ezehi derech yishara sheyiver lo ha'adam, kol shi tiferes lo seh v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Which is the right path, the derech yashar, the straight path, for a man to choose for himself, whatever is harmonious for the one who does it, and harmonious for mankind. So it should be tiferes, it should be glory for you, and harmonious for you, and it should be glorious for mankind as well. Ve'heve zahir b'mitzvah kala v'chavachamura. You should be very careful with a light mitzvah as much as a weighty mitzvah. She'ena tayoder matan tzcharen shal mitzvahs. You don't know the reward of mitzvahs. Ve'heve machshad hefseid mitzvah keneged tzchara. And you should contemplate, consider the cost of a mitzvah against the reward. You should contemplate what is the reward for this Aveira and what will I lose if I do the Aveira. And finally, for purposes of Arshir, Histaka Bishlosha Dvarim, Ve'enata Bali De Aveira. If you pay attention to three things, you will never come to be that depressed person, depressed from your own sin. disappointed in your own self, melancholy, because how could I have said, or how could I have done, or how could I have eaten, or how could I have read or watched those things? And you feel a sense of spiritual pain. But that spiritual pain is a bracha, because it's going to motivate you to heal yourself. So what should you do to avoid that? Histagla, to avoid it in the first place. Nobody wants to sin. Oh, they need to do teshuva once you sin, but how should you avoid it in the first place? Histagla b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein ata bali de'aver. You should pay attention to three things and you will not come to sin. What should you pay attention to? Da mala mala mimach. You should know, first of all, what is above you. What is above you? Ayin ro'a, an eye that sees, va'ozen shama'as, an ear that hears, v'chol ma'asacha b'sefer nichtavim, and all your deeds are recorded in the book. And this is such an appropriate lesson for Elul on this time of year, these 40 days from Aleph Elul through Yom Kippurim, when the 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shamayim davening on behalf of Klai Yisrael in the aftermath of the Chet Ha'egel, the third set of the 40 days, when Hashem said, Salachti Kivaracha. And it's a time when that book is open. And we should feel in a very visceral sense that all of our deeds are being recorded in the book. I think that the problem becomes, one second, I think I have to sneeze. Excuse me. The problem becomes, if we really lived by this teaching of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, if we really felt this, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, I would never sin. I would never do anything wrong. If we really lived with that very real sense of what and who is above me, an eye that sees, an ear that hears, and all my actions are being written and recorded, then I would never contemplate sin in the first place, and I would never fail in that realm. Why? Because who wants to have bad things that they have done written up there in the book? I'm now going to quote from Ethics from Sinai, the teachings of Mr. Irving Bunim Zichron. I remember a few months ago or last year, I read his biography. I highly recommended it, A Fire in a Soil by Feldheim. It was amazing. If you didn't read it, you should still read it. He was mamish, worked to save as many Jews as possible during the Holocaust and then rebuild Torah in America after. Just an unbelievable askan on behalf of Torah Jewry in America, both during and after the war. And he gave Pirkei Avos Shi'urim for many years, and all of his teachings, he worked very, very closely with Rav Aaron Klotler Zatzal, and then many of his teachings were compiled. This is also Feldheim in Ethics from Sinai. So he says very, very nicely on this Mishnah, and it's very important, okay? Okay, so da mala mala mimach, ayin ro'a, ve'ozen shama'as, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavim. Think, reflect about those things which keep you from falling into the clutches of sin. It is very easy, he says, for the sinner to graduate into addiction. He sounds like Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Tversky, whose commentary on the Mishnah I also looked up, but for tonight's show, I'm going to quote from Mr. Irving Bunim. It is very easy for a sinner to graduate into addiction and become a slave to his passion. Once you are in the hands of sin, he becomes your master. The evil inclination, say the sages in Masechah Sukkah, is at first as fragile as the thread of a spider's web, as thin as one piece of silk from a spider's web. But in the end, it becomes like plaited wagon ropes. The more you feed the desire and demands of the Yetzer Hara, the stronger and stronger he becomes. And it is very easy to graduate into the clutches, into the addiction of the Yetzer Hara. Note that the expression, he points out something very interesting, which I liked very much, okay? So the Mishnah actually tells you, histako b'shlosha dvarim ve'ein atabali dei avira. So the Mishnah is very careful in its language. It doesn't say contemplate three things and you won't come to sin. It actually says contemplate three things and you won't come into the yaday of er, yadayim. You won't come into the hands of sin. Note that the expression points out Mr. Irving Bunim literally reads, you will not come into the hands of sin. Ve'ein atabali yaday avera. We could translate that to mean, he gives an interesting pshat, the handle of sin. What does that mean? You shouldn't come into the handle of sin. Excuse me. If you pick up a pot from the stove that was boiling hot, you would burn your hands. Therefore, the manufacturers attach to the pot a plastic, and I don't know if it's plastic or whatever it is, which does not conduct heat. I'm sure you all have fried pans like this. Yesterday, one of the kids was making pancakes, and I went to touch that rubber part of the handle, and it happened to be, it was still very hot. It wasn't so, I guess, heat-proof. Okay, nothing happened. It was fine, but it was hot. So what happens is the manufacturers cover the metal part with some sort of rubber so it doesn't conduct the heat. With that handle, you can manage the pot, even if water is boiling. Similarly, some major sins, some enormous offenses are too hot for our present personality to handle. We instinctively keep well away from them. And the evil inclination is aware of this. He doesn't want you to jump into a boiling pot because he knows you're not going to jump into a boiling pot, just like nobody on this Zoom call is going to go into McDonald's and eat a cheeseburger tonight for supper with a milkshake. Why not? You don't even have a taiva. Of course you're not going to do it. So the Yetzer Hara doesn't even try and get you to jump into the boiling pot because he knows it's way too hot for you to handle. Hence, he fashions a handle covering the pot of sin. A little insignificant sin, a little thing from which our conscience may not recoil. I know you can't touch that, but you could certainly touch this. Be careful not to fall into the hands of the Yetzer Hara, because he will, that's what I'm looking for, insulate you from doing great sins, because he knows you'll never touch those sins, and he'll just bring you into his hands to get you to do the small little ones. Because that we're not so protected against. Once indulged, it can lead us to much more serious offense. What defense do we have against this ever-present danger? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's teaching is, follow what he says. We could always remember, so I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. And the way I speak to my children, my spouse, the person in the supermarket, the words I use when my tefillah, every decision is being recorded. Kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtav. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just illustrating the mitzvah. And it's elo v'yasur as eretz Canaan. Yes, we need to pick one or two nekudos certainly to work on. But don't forget. Don't focus so much on the trees that you forget that there's a forest. Take a whole picture of yourself. Where are you? Where do you stand in Tafshin as Tafshin Pei Aleph ends and Tafshin Pei Beis is about to begin? Look at the grand totality of who you are. V'yasuras are, it's going to scout yourself out, all parts of yourself. Da malam malam imach, says Mr. Irving Bunim. If something is over us, we must be cautious. An object above us possesses potential energy. So if someone on the fifth floor throws something down at you, the force will be tremendous, though they knew. God is in heaven, and you are on earth, says the Pasuk in Kohelas. And therefore, let your words be few. Remember that Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, that he's throwing anything at us, God forbid. But he's up there, and he's watching. And you have to know the force of something above you is a tremendous force. But Rabbi Yehuda's words could also be rendered, know what is above you, dama lamala mimach, concerning you. Dama lamala, know what is above, mimach, what is above that is concerning you. And here's a different pshat. What do they think of you above? Da malam bala, know it's above me, mach. What are they saying about you above? A student at school is like Ima, who's sitting behind you? Call me or Abba? Abba? Oh, I was going to tell them that if it was call me, that was call me from last night's fame, but it's not call me, it's my father. Hi, Abba. Okay, a student at school likes to have the regard of his fellow students, but he is quite anxious to know what his teachers think of him. I don't know today if students care what their teachers think, but it used to be. What is written about him in the instructor's book. And I once saw something very good in Mishpacha. It was a back-to-school edition, and they interviewed famous persona, rabbanim, whatever, teachers. What do you ask your kid when they come from school on the first day? And one of the answers stuck in my head. It was a number of years ago. I don't remember who said it. Instead of asking the kid, how did you like your teacher? They asked the kid, how did the teacher like you? So I know it's only the first day and you can't have a total picture yet, but it's such a powerful lesson. How does the teacher like you? Da mala mala mimach, says Mr. Irving Bloom. No one is above. What is above mimach? What are they saying about you up there? What do they think of you above? Before you embark on a course of action, think, how will this affect my relationship with the Almighty? And finally, kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim. He quotes a medrash from Medrash Pesikta Rabasi. The Medrash states, just as kings of flesh and blood have spies, to sort of bring this back to full circle, the Yasuru Es Eretz Canaan, Just like kings of flesh and blood have spies, agents who inform them of every last detail of the people, so there are agents of the Holy One, blessed be he. And they tell him everything a man does secretly, in the dark, or even openly. So when I first started to read this medrash that Mr. Irving Bunim quotes, I was a little nervous. Like, what does that even mean? Like, Hashem has spies, so you know who it is? The secret agents of the Holy One are the human souls themselves. Each human spirit and soul reveals all before the Holy One. V'chosem yad kol adam bo, umei alav yikara. There's no spies, it's our own neshama who is signing in the book, reading with Sanatogov, umei alav yikara, reads by itself. Every night Chazal tells our neshama goes up to Olam HaEmes, and there's a din v'cheshbon up there. And this Medrash, Pesik de Rabasi 8, says that just like a king of flesh and blood has scouts and spies, so too the Ribbono Shel Olam has those who report back to him. But who is it? Not others telling us, telling God about us. It's your own neshama. Each human spirit reveals all before the Holy One. And all that people have done is written on sheets of parchment. This is extremely relevant to the Yom HaDin, which is coming on the Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer HaMavas, is Pesuch and the Fanav. And it's your signature. It's your hand. It's your neshama testifying. But not only in heaven, continues Mr. Irving Bunim, is there a permanent record. Our deeds are indelibly recorded on our own minds and our own hearts. And this relates to the piece by the Rav. It's in our minds and our hearts. We know when we've done something wrong. You have that feeling of spiritual pain, which is a warning. Just like if you're ill, you have physical pain. It is an axiom of psychoanalysis that the human unconscious forgets nothing. Things that you do not even remember, they're somewhere within you, even if it's unknown to you. They are remembered clearly at the level of the soul. The way we live our lives, if you're a person of good consciousness, conscious, if you're a person of morality, if you're a person of Torah, if you're an Eved Hashem, you're going to feel bad. And on the one hand, it's a bracha, because it brings you back to Hashem. On the other hand, it's a nagging feeling of discontent if we cannot win over our Yetzer Hara. Or if, I shouldn't say that, you can win. If you feel you cannot win over your Yetzer Hara. And our sages agree that every deed and act of a person's life is recorded and remembered, not only in the heavenly books, but somewhere within him. The sages say in Maseches Chagiga, a man's own soul will testify against him if he has sinned. So it's Elul, and it's time to scout ourselves. Shlachecha Anashim, all those spies, the elements of your soul that will testify against you for sin, send them to take a tour of the land. V'yasuru es eretz kanaan v'yaladun. V'yaladun? V'yaladun yasara. Send them to take a census. What's going on? How are we doing? You have to look at the trees, but you also got to look at the forest. And if you feel that sense of melancholy, depression, spiritual pain, it's good. Use it as an impetus to change. Use it to come back b'shleimus and with teshuvat Hashem. He will heal you. And don't forget that if you could but just remember the teachings of Rabbi, know what is above you and what is said above concerning you. An eye that sees, an ear that hears, and everything is written in God's book, and everything is written in the book of your own soul. And we would be truly motivated, come back to Hashem to rectify what has been ruined over the past year with sin. And ultimately Hashem promises Urifa Isiv, he will heal us. And then when the books are open, it will only be a glorious story of Torah, Midos, and Maisim Tovim. So I thank very, very much my friends from afar, Ruth and Joseph Schwartz. It should be an Aliyah Neshama from Mordechai Ben Yosef. It should be a big Mazel Tov. Bar mitzvah of your son Mordechai Eliyahu ben Yosef Leib, and I appreciate your very kind words that you had to say about the Torah learning that we share. Thank you so much, everybody. Besuros tovos, and have a wonderful Shabbos. And Ezrat Hashem will meet next week. Thank you so much. Kol tov to all.